Hallelujah. Well, now, all right, sir. These electronics on, hope it don't come no lightning storm like it did the other night. Hey, one thing about it, I'm well grounded, though. Hallelujah. Joy to be back. Walmart didn't get everybody. Got about a third of them. Got about 12 of our preachers. Was your last night. And well, I appreciate you being here. God's got the right crowd here. We may be off a little bit, more ways than one, Stacy. And he's my ruddy preacher friend. But yeah, we got the right crowd. I heard about an old boy up here where he got pulled over, highway patrolman, you know, pulled him over, asked for his license, and that policeman looked at that license, looked at that picture, and got down and looked at him real close, stood back up, looked at that picture again, got down and looked at him, and he said, "Sir, this ain't your picture." He said, "Let me see that." He took it and looked at it. He said, "You know, you're right. You stopped the wrong man." And don't try that. It may not work for you. Boy, I got a pew full back there tonight, Charles, running over, of course, with Bubba and amen. And my son-in-law, it don't take too much over that to make it run over, do it? And I appreciate my family. They've been here all week, and that don't often happen with me, that they can't be with me that much, but I appreciate the fact they have this week. Bless her heart. Carolyn's a nervous wreck most times, she says, over what I might say. And she worries about that, you know. And I said, it's amazing what I get by with these days and blame it on my medicine. Hallelujah. You got a Bible tonight and you want to follow in the scripture. Turn, if you will, please, to the Old Testament book of Ezra. Chapter 7, book of Ezra. I'm interested in verse 15. I'll ask you to stand, reverence one wrote the book. Boy, I like that singing, didn't you? I go somewhere I've never been before. I go looking for two things. That old red-back church hymnal and King James Bibles. And if I see them two things on the scene, I know I'm going to be all right, buddy. Hallelujah. By the way, that hymnal's published Cleveland, Tennessee, by the Assemblies of God. You didn't know that, did you? I preach in that area, Sweetwater, Cleveland. I've been on for 20 years, I guess, WDEH, out of Sweetwater. And I had one of their churches, Covenant of Promise. That pastor sent me $500 on the radio right lately. And I just signed it and forwarded it to the radio station. And my God, what a blessing that was. Assembly of God, boy. And I don't know what them books I've carried back them for Baptist churches in North and South Carolina, knowing I was going to be down in Cleveland. And I'd bring them back 100 hymnals, you know. But that's where they're made, Cleveland, Tennessee. And them shaped notes in there, boy, I tell you what, We used to have singing school, Charles. I went to Spring Creek 42 years ago, and boy, there was singing heaven down out of that thing. And she had them singing schools, and all newcomers teaching them notes, you know. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do stuff, you know. And maybe we ought to get back some of that stuff. Amen. I ain't got much for that newfangled contemporary stuff of you. It don't do nothing for me. Sort of like their NIVs and all that garbage. Feller asked me here lately, he said, what's wrong with my NIV? I said, I wouldn't feel nothing if you read out of it. Huh? Amen. If you'd find out who was on the board and translated that thing, if you had one, you'd throw it away. I had one fella come to me in the church, and he said, some people got me a new Bible and said it's an NIV. He said, what I ought to do with it? I said, that's up to you, buddy. He come back next night. He said, you know what I did that? I said, no. He said, I took it out in the backyard and buried it. He said, I figured anything dead ought to be buried. Little old youngin' read John 3:16 out of that old King James Version, and I'm ready to preach. Hallelujah. Blesses your heart, don't it? All right. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 15. And to carry the silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. Father, I thank you for your word this time together in the tabernacle tonight. Now, God, I can't, but you can. And I pray you'd have your blessed way in this place. Somebody lost, I pray they get saved. Somebody with another need, sir, they bring it to you and find help. Now, thy hand. For it's in Jesus' blessed name I do humbly pray with thanksgiving. Amen. And you can be seated. I was talking to a friend there a while ago. He was asking me about this arthritis. He got fibromyalgia, he said. We was discussing that stuff and the effects it can have on you. And I went 7 months, it'd take two to get me to the pulpit. But I didn't miss a meeting. There's a little old preacher from up in Landrum, South Carolina. Got to praying, Lord God, take that off Brother Bob and put it on me. Now, that's a friend for you, buddy. He said, I ain't got as rough a schedule as he's got. God take it off and put it on me. Ray Allison's his name. And he prayed that for a while, and he said, God said, I'm going to take it off of him, and I ain't going to put it on you. Huh? And boy, I tell you what, I appreciate prayers as prayed, and I'm able to be here tonight. And thank God, buddy. You know, there's a few times that Moses helped me. You know, he told God, I am not able. Right. Now, I'll tell you what, folks, there have been some times I felt like Moses. God, I am not able. Remember what God said, though? I am. I am, just get up and let me. And thank God he'll take care of it, won't he? He's still the great I am. I heard about an old missionary during World War II. The lady had a little old orphanage, and she heard the Japanese was coming and they was going to overrun them and, you know, probably kill them or take them into captivity. And so she's trying to get to higher ground with them and back where they wouldn't be found, hide out maybe. Gone as far as she could, and she said, young'uns, we're going to have to surrender. I can't do it. She said, I'm just not able. little teenage girl come to her and said, called her by name and said, "Don't you remember that story you told us about Moses and the children of Israel and how he got them out?" She said, "Honey, I'm not Moses." She said, "I know that, but he's still God." Ain't that the God's truth tonight? But he's still God, and he's still able, buddy. Now, when you come to this part of the Word of God, Israel has been taken into Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah warned them what was going to happen if they didn't get right with God. But just like thousands today, they wouldn't listen. Got carried off into Babylonian captivity. But a new king came to power in Babylon. And old Artaxerxes freed a remnant to go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and reinstate ceremonial worship. And he said, "Anybody wants to go with you, he's free to go." And on and beyond that, he gave them silver and gold. They had all these vessels wherein, you know, they could carry out ceremonial worship. God only knows the worth of them things. Precious treasures, you see. And he had silver and gold, and he even took an offering, the Bible said, for them. And, boy, here they are. Now, when they headed for Jerusalem, you keep in mind they're headed home. And they're going home carrying precious treasures. Now, between them and Jerusalem is hostile territory. Thugs and thieves, killers, cutthroats. Now, coming to Babylon, they had the escort of the Babylonian army. But going back, that ain't so. And the Bible said, you hear, that they're ashamed to ask for an escort. I mean, they boasted, you know, our God's able to take care of us. And they're ashamed to ask them to turn around and ask old Artaxerxes for an escort after they bragged on how God would take care of them. And so here they are going home, carrying all these precious treasures through hostile, through enemy territory. And boy, God picked up on that, and I saw a picture of where we're at today, church, as well as anywhere I've ever read it in the Word of God. I mean, we're headed home. Yes, sir. And we're carrying precious treasures. You see, now right there is where the picture don't fit me, preacher. I may be going through hostile territory, enemy territory, and I'm headed home, but I ain't got no treasures to carry. Hey, wait a minute. What is more precious than your youngins? Hey, what's more precious than your testimony for God? What's more valuable than your influence for God? And so here we are, I mean, fitting this picture. Traveling through enemy territory, headed home, carrying precious treasures. Now, Ezra made it in that crowd. Right here's what God spoke to me about. How he made it, I'd make it. How he made it, we'd make it. And boy, I got interested. Yes, sir. I begin to read off the wall of my mind, chapter 8. And how old Ezra made it. And we make it the same way, church. Yes, sir. 21st verse of the 8th chapter. They made it by calling on God. Down yonder by the river Havana, boy, they begin to seek the Lord. They begin to call on God. And I want you to note, now watch your book. What they're seeking God about. what they're calling on God for. First thing I know, the right way. God, we need you to show us the right way. You ain't going to get to heaven without traveling the right way. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight, they're out here traveling every way on earth trying to get there. But they ain't going to make it. They ain't traveling the right way. We need to know the right way, God. Hey, we need to know the right way, don't we? You think we ain't got something to pray about? God help us to get on the right way and stay there. Now notice this. Watch your book. For us, and what does it say now? And for our little ones. It ain't only important for us to be on the right way. We need our young'uns on the right way. Yes, sir. God help us to make sure we got our children on the right way. We got our young'uns on the right way, buddy. Yes, sir. I come to church one night not too long ago, and there's a little girl riding her bicycle in the parking lot. I went over and I said, honey, it's about church time. Won't you park your bicycle and come on in with us? She said, I can't. I said, why not? She said, I'd have to comb my hair and wash my face. I said, where do you live? She said, three trailers down. Well, I said, honey, you got time. Go down there and comb your hair and wash your face and come on by. She said, my mama would never hear to it. J.D., while I preached that night as a little girl out there riding her bicycle in the parking lot, that mama didn't have her on the right way. My God, it's important, buddy, to have our little ones on the right way. Old Ezra said, not just us, but the right way for our little ones, God. Boy, that right way, that's important. We can't stress that enough, I don't feel like. No, sir. That crowd bought the flea market on Sunday morning instead of in the house of God ain't on the right way. And you can tell them I said so. Amen. That crowd sitting in the bleachers of Atlanta watching a car race and on the Lord's Day ain't on the right way. Hey, I don't buy into this stuff, man. Go to church twice a year and claim he's going to heaven. I don't believe it. No, sir. I had an old boy. He'd give in to the temptation of strong drink, you know. And he'd call me, Charles, and he'd say, Brother Bob, I promise you'll pray and get God to help me and get me out of this hospital. I'm coming back to church and I'm going to live for God. Well, I'd go and pray with him, you know, and he'd stick it out for 3 or 4 weeks, right back same shape. Called me one day and he said, Brother Bob, he said, please come pray with me. He said, I'm in awful shape on earth. He said, I promise. He said, I'll come back to church. God will raise me up and get me out of here. I walked into that room that day and he said, Brother Bob, he said, please. Now, he said, pray for me that God will help me. And he said, I'll come back to church. And I'll stay with it. I said, all right, let's pray. I said, dear God, I said, you heard what he said. Now, God, I don't believe a word of it. He said, no, no, don't pray. I said, I'm just telling him what I'm feeling, buddy. I said, God, you heard him. I don't believe a word of it, but he said he'd come back. Boy, he didn't want that parade, you know, over him. Boy, I tell you, sometimes it takes the truth to wake some people up. My God, it's about time they started putting the truth on some tombstones. People live like hell, and they'll write it, asleep in Jesus. Some little old boy looked at that, knowing how he lived, and said, if he lived like that and go to heaven, I can too. My God, it's about time. About time told the truth. Amen. I've told people, if they don't live for God, don't get me for their funeral. I'll tell on them. Just as sure as the world, buddy, I'll tell on them. One little old boy sat and listened to a preacher and bragging on his daddy. Amen. He knowed his daddy in the life he lived. He said, Mama, you sure that daddy up there in that coffin? About time we wised up and started telling the truth about it, ain't it? Yes, sir. That crowd listened, buying their groceries on Sunday morning instead of being in the house of God. I'm a-telling you ain't traveling the right way. Amen. Got their youngins out there not traveling the right way. For us, for our little ones, now watch your book. What else is it going to say? And for our substance, they said we want everything we got on the right way. My God, I do too. I want everything I got on the right way, don't you? Yes, sir. Boy, they did something good about giving it to God. God bless you with a car, give it back to God. Amen. Boy, I get out here and my old car laid down. I get out beside him and say, God, your car just tore up. You're going to have to get me another. Yes, sir. Snag my suit, amen, on a nail. I've seen pulpits, nails all over them, everything. You know, I need back. I'll say, God, your suit just got tore up. You're going to have to get me another. I was preaching down on 107 out of Irwin, Tennessee, toward Greenville, Tennessee. And that pulpit had doodads all over it. I didn't know the old man built it was in that congregation. And every time I'd slap it, something else would fall off of it. You know. His grandson told me, said, Grandpa told me, he thought he built that thing stronger than that. After a couple of nights, old man brought a hammer, and he'd fix back what I tore up. You know, that pulpit. Yes, sir. Something good about giving it to God. You just back off. God just got messed up. I need another. Huh? Give it all to God, boy. They said we want everything we got on the right way. Boy, ain't that a God's blessing? Sometimes I get worried that I've left something out. I'll get down and start naming again, Charles. Giving it to God. Huh? Yes, sir. Boy, there's something good about that. Giving it back to God. Hallelujah. We want to be on the right way, God. We want our youngins on the right way. And we want everything we've got on the right way, God. And so they made it by calling on God. Number two, they made it by commitment. Verse 24, thank you, Lord. They separated them. 12 men. It wasn't good enough just to be a Levite. You had to be a separated Levite to carry that silver and gold. Huh? Yes, sir. Hey, that book still teaches separation. That's an unspoken note, men in most pulpits, subject of separation. But that book still says, come ye out and be a separate people. Bible said God put a difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptian, didn't he? I believe there ought to be a visible difference, hadn't there? Yes, sir. Now, right here's the thing about it. I'm glad, thank God, I don't have to go around correcting people, amen, on how they look and what they wear and all that stuff. Amen, they get the right teacher in here. Amen, he'll tell them. Worst mistake some of these preachers ever made. Hang a dress code, bless God, in the vestibule. Amen. I mean, they get the Holy Ghost of God in their heart. Amen. They won't need nobody else to remind them. Amen. They'll know how to dress, how to look, and how to comb their hair. Now, if that makes you mad, you can apologize, and I'll forgive you. Yes, sir. Carolyn's getting more nervous by the minute. Yes, sir. I'm here to tell you, boy, this committed, separated people. And boy, they did make it, didn't they, Stacy? Yes, sir, old Ezra and that crowd. Huh? Yes, sir. Committed people. Calling on God, people. Yes, sir. And boy, they made it all the way to Jerusalem. Another way they made it that helped them was their certainty of their destination. Thank you, Lord. That's verse 31. Watch your book. They're going to Jerusalem. They knew where they was going. Why bring that up, preacher? I ask some people, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? I'm trying to live right. I'm trying. I think I am. I hope I am. Hey, this crowd wasn't trying to get to Jerusalem. They're going home. They're headed home. They knew, bless God, where they're going. Let me tell you something, folks. I ain't trying to get to heaven. I'm going, bless God. Hallelujah. These things have been written unto you that ye may know that ye have life eternal. I know where I'm headed. I know where God got me. I know what I'm doing here. And I know where I'm going to get off. Amen. When this thing's over and day's done down here, buddy. This old stuff. I talk to that crowd just like they lost. Tell me I'm trying to live right, or I'm trying to be a Christian. Or I hope I am. Huh? Yes, this crowd knew where they was headed. Huh? They was headed home, man. And they did make it. Yes, sir. Fourth wait, I'm done. We're going home. They made it, realizing ahead of them was a checkpoint. They got to Jerusalem, and on the fourth day, verse 33, watch your book, and verse 34. Now listen, that silver and that gold and that stuff was weighed when it was given to them. Fourth day back home, they waited again. You know why? To see if they'd lost anything that had been entrusted into their keeping. Hey, neighbor, we're going to face checkpoint one of these days. God's given me 6 grandchildren, 3 young'uns, 2 godly daughter-in-laws and a godly son-in-law. And I won't stand before God, Stacy, not having lost a thing of what God's given me, Charles. God's been good to me, man. And I won't stand there reporting with everything He entrusted into my keeping. One glad day, don't you? They're going to be a checkpoint. We're going to give an account one of these days. Yes, sir, what God entrusted in their keeping. They waited, and when they got home, they waited again. Hey, the Bible said, God shall wipe away all tears. You can't wipe away something that ain't there. And I think I know what some of them tears are going to be over. Some folks that's lost some stuff, preacher. Amen, along the way. They're going to be weeping over that. Book says, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed. Yes, sir. Boy, I want to be able to stand there Amen. Not having lost nothing. Amen. Well, so far I've baptized most of them grandchildren. Bess back there tonight. She's 5 years old and she walked the aisle and told Daddy she wanted to get saved. My two boys, this little old fella's come forward. I was preaching revival up in Avery County. Israel was just a little old boy. And I'll just tell you, that meeting is deader than a hammer. I was just about ready to throw up my hands and go to the house. Israel was with me. One night, and I preached, here come my boy. Little old fella, he didn't come to Daddy, he come to Jesus. I climbed every wall in that auditorium, buddy. Boy, business picked up in a hurry. Yes, sir. And I've been out and gone away so much. Carolyn's the one that God used to teach them the Word of God, you know. And I said, you may lead them to the Lord, but you can't baptize them. I get to do that. Yes, sir. What a God's blessing to think we can stand one day. We weigh in, not having lost nothing. God being my helper, I want it to be true in my life. I don't know how God's speaking to you tonight. I know what I've had to say, not been directed that much at lost people, maybe. Evangelical. If you hear lost, I'd crawl down that aisle tonight for you. But it's a personal endeavor, but I'll tell you, if you'll take that first step, he'll walk the rest of the way with you. If I mention the name Billy Kelly, a whole lot of you know who I'm talking about. Old Billy Kelly grew up in Oliver Springs, Tennessee. I preached a lot years ago around Oak Ridge and that area and Kingston. And all around that area where Billy came out of. He's preaching a revival up in Upper Carter County, just across a little old mountain from Beulah Dean. He said, very first night, he said there's a couple walked in. The tallest man he said he'd ever seen in his life, with a little short wife. And said they came in and they sat down and had a couple of young'uns with them. He said they sat there a while, and he said while he was a-preaching, they got to lifing. Now he said, I know what it's like to be lifed with. And he liked that, if you know who I'm talking about, old Billy. He had a good sense of humor. And he said, I know what it's like to be lifed with. But he said, they wasn't lifing with me. They was lifing at me. And he said, I just preached on. He said, after a while, they got up and left. Quit life, just left. He said, he went in that night after church. And he said, that preacher's wife said, Brother Billy, said, you know that couple that was life in the night? Said, they went home and that woman had a massive heart attack. She's down here in the hospital. I take it to be Elizabeth and Tennessee Hospital. And said, she's not expected to live. He said, I'll go see her. He said, I walked into that hospital and up to that floor. And he said, God had told me, you go tell that couple if they'll get right with God, make sure they're saved, I'll raise that woman up and get her out of that hospital. He said, I went with a message given to me by God. He said, I started knocking on that door and there was a no visitor sign. Now, Charles, I try to respect them things as much as I can. Yeah. And old Brother Billy wasn't no different. He said, I saw that, and he said, I turned to walk away and said, God said, hey, you ain't no visitor. You're here on business for me. He said, I didn't even knock. I just pushed the door open, walked in. He said, that man saw me and burst into tears. Said, preacher, they say my wife ain't going to make it. She's going to die. He said, shut up, man, listen to me. Let me tell you what God told me. He said, if you was to get right with God, he'd raise that woman up and get her out of here. He said, about that time, a doctor walked in. Stethoscope around his neck, clipboard in his hand. And he said, good news. He said, it's not as severe as we thought. She's going to be all right. Said that fellow, said, did you hear that, preacher? Yeah. He said, tell you what we're going to do, preacher. Said, God gets her out of here, we'll come to church and walk the aisle and get things straight with God. Billy said, man, that ain't what God said. God said, if you get right now, he'd get this woman out of here. He said, now you heard that doctor, preacher. She's going to be all right. And we're coming to church. I promise. He said, mister, that ain't what God said. Well, preacher, you heard the doctor. Now that's how it's going to be. He said, I left, walking down that hall, shaking my head, saying that ain't what God said. He said he got back to where he was standing, that preacher. And he said, preacher's wife met him at the door and said, Brother Billy, they just called again. That woman you went to see, she just died. She's gone. He said he went with that preacher 2 days later and stood by that open grave, shaking his head, thinking, that ain't what God said. Hey, folks, hey, some of you here tonight, maybe you're thinking, Sunday morning I'll get this situation straightened out with God, and God's saying tonight. God's saying today's the day. Now is the accepted time. You say, now, preacher, I'll wait till I get back to my pastor. Hey, that may not be what God's saying. I'd advise you to do what God says. Huh? A preacher, I'd just rather do it at my home church. You in for trouble if that ain't what God's saying. Night's a night. Now you can run the risk and take the chance. Well, Brother Phil Hoskins told me he's preaching revival in Texas. And he said it was a good meeting except for one row of rowdy teenagers. And said they sat there, passed notes. He said to close one service, he said, don't take the chance. If you ain't right with God, get right with God tonight. Don't take the chance. He said, young lady on the end, Charles picked up a hymn book, wrote something in the cover of it and passed it to the young man beside her and he read it and laughed. Passed it to the next, and then they read it and laughed. And all down the line. He said service was over, and his curiosity got the better of him. He said he walked down, picked up that songbook, opened up the cover to see what she'd wrote in it. And she'd written, "Don't take the chance. Ha, ha, ha." He said better midnight that night, his phone rung in the motel room. And it was that pastor. Said, "Preacher, I need help." He said, "But these young'uns," he said, "they sat together, remember them." He said, "They went out here on a back Texas road and played a crazy game called chicken, where two drivers will come at each other, and the first one to veer out of the path is the chicken." And he said, "Preacher, neither of them would be the chicken. They hit head on." He said, "All of them's dead except one, and she can't make it. She's got internal injuries." And said, "I've never seen such in my life, grandparents and parents in here, and the pandemonium. What's going on?" He said he could hear the screaming and the hollering. He said, "I'll be right there and do what I can to help you." He said he walked into that emergency area. Them young'uns all dead except one. He said he asked a doctor. He said, "Doctor, where is she?" He said, "She's right here. Had a curtain pulled." He said he stepped over and that doctor pulled the curtain back. He said, "That little girl's eyes are swollen. So much as she... doubtful she could see anything." He said he spoke to her, reached down, took that little girl by the hand, and said as best she could, she opened her eyes enough to see him. And he said he saw a tear well up in her eye and run out and down her cheek. He said he recognized her as a very girl that wrote that in that songbook. Said she looked up at him and said, "Preacher, I'm sorry I took the change." And she's gone out into eternity to meet God. Now, neighbor, you can take the change tonight if you please, or you can get in this altar and get right with God. Make your reservation for heaven in Christ Jesus. Go home, not have to worry about hell no more. Not have to worry about the fact of meeting that car head on down the road here and going out and meeting God unprepared. You can take the chance if you please. It's up to you. Then the others of you tonight, he's going to come lead us. Amen. Something for invitation tonight. Listen. Hey, others of you here, you say, "Preacher Bob, I'm a child of God. But if God knows my heart, I'd like to stand at the weigh-in, not having lost nothing that God entrusted to me. Why don't you come tell Jesus? Get around this old altar and tell Jesus, ask him to help you." They made it. One of the ways they made it, calling on God. If Ezra need to call on God, you better believe we do too. Lord, get us on that right way, God. Not just us, but we want our little ones on that right way, God. And God, we want everything we've got on that right way while we stand all over the auditorium tonight. You say, "Preacher Bob, I don't know about another, but God's speaking to my heart. Come on to Jesus, will you? Come on to Jesus." You here need some help? Charles is here, I'm here. 17 other preachers scattered across here. Be glad to help you any way that we can to get you to Jesus. You make your reservation for glory tonight in Him. While you still have time and opportunity. Others of you, I don't know how God's speaking to you. You say, preacher, I'll take care of it one day. Hey, that might not be what God's saying. I'd advise you tonight to do what God says. Old Brother Billy said he walked down the corridor to that hospital that night shaking his head, said, mister, that ain't what God said. You better do what God's saying. God bless you, sir, boys. God bless you, men, for your honesty. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't that a beautiful sight of Daddy and his two boys have followed him to the altar. What a beautiful sight, boy, that is. Preacher Bob, don't know about another. God's speaking to me too. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus, would you? God loves you, wants to help you if you'll let Him. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. That's right, boys. Come on to God. Come on to God. You'll never regret it. You'll never be sorry in this life and the life to come. Old Brother Phil said he stood there and held that little girl's hand. She said, preacher, I'm sorry I took the chance. And she's gone out into eternity. My God, why take the change tonight? Why not just come on to Jesus? Hallelujah. Well, you've got time and an opportunity. Come on to Him. God loves you. You know how much God loves you? Look back at Calvary. Look at Him. They kept Him up all night, kicking Him, spitting on Him, cussing Him. Blessed be God, He's still enough man come morning to shoulder that old cross and drag it up Golgotha's mountain and lay down and die for a wretch like me. God speak in your heart, come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. Thank God for these honest hearts. What God's doing tonight. Anybody else? You mind God. Do what God says and you'll never regret it in this life and the life to come. If you'll do what God says. Amen, I guarantee it. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus.